B-Pod Studios.
Hey, what is up, everyone, and welcome to the first ever newish kinda episode of Checkpoint Daily. I am your newish kinda host, Norris Howard, here from the belly of the beast, the den of the wolves, the Checkpoint XP Studios. I am joined by my former Checkpoint AFK co-hosts, starting with Chad Callahan. Hello, Chad.
Hello.
I am so happy you're here.
I'm excited to be here.
And I'm also joined by Callie Sloan.
You guys sound like robots.
I know.
Hello.
Hello, humanoid being.
Hello, human.
I don't know how to do this.
Words, how do we do?
I, too, enjoy ingesting food. Welcome to the program.
Sus.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, this is a brand new sort of lineup for Checkpoint Daily. It's really interesting because on this particular feed, there was a selection of other hosts. We've redone things. We've moved things around. And we said at the end of the day, you know what? Why don't we have a daily product? We used to have a daily product. People like talking about video games every day, and therefore, we should also talk about video games every day.
Yes.
So, we did. And this is Checkpoint Daily. You can expect this Monday through Friday, so even the title itself is a lie. But you
well,
will
no,
get...
No, technically, there is stuff happening on the weekend, but it's you're going to catch up on the radio show.
That's right. We will have some stuff from our national radio show populating this feed on Saturday and Sunday. So there will be content every day, but you will hear from us Monday through Friday.
There will be fresh, recorded content for this every day,
yes.
Monday through Friday.
It just, well, you know, the name...
Banking hours.
The name Checkpoint Weekdays didn't sound as good, so
you know
bear
what?
With us.
I don't mind Checkpoint Weekdays, but it is what it is.
Sounds like a sitcom.
It does. You know, but the first things first.
Checkpoint
Weekdays.
And then we all have to do our turns to the camera and smile after we dropped a cake on accident.
Oh, God,
oh,
yes.
No.
The 90s sitcom opening.
No, do the walking up the stairs and turn back and give them the thumbs up. All right. Like, oh, gosh. Anyway, I just got just Saved by the Bell just went through my head.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Family matters for me.
Yeah, but you know, I'm very happy that we're doing this daily. I'm very happy that we're going to be able to share a lot of news with you guys every day from two very different groups of people. So you'll get a myriad of voices on Checkpoint Daily. But first, starting out, we got to do the news. Yeah, so first things first, one of the biggest fighting games in the world, arguably one of the biggest game franchises in the world, Smash Brothers announced its newest character. What is it, Steve?
Minecraft Steve,
which I cannot be less excited for a Smash Brothers character.
We were talking about this earlier, actually.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being excited and surprised, right? Because I was definitely shocked.
Yes.
It was the last thing I expected to see.
Absolutely.
But excited?
Not at all. And Chad, I know you're a big Minecraft fan. You play a lot of Minecraft. I mean, how excited are you for Minecraft Steve to be going to Smash?
I mean, now I have a reason to play Smash outside of Kirby. Like, come on now. Like, this is kind of exciting because, like, Minecraft has felt like it's been part of the Nintendo, like, family for a while, even though it started really as the PC game.
Right.
And now I feel like the
Microsoft owns it.
Well, Microsoft owns it, but the Switch really kind of, it's like the number one player base outside of PC.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. And so they've been working on it for 5 years.
Yeah. That's one of those crazy things that, you know, when you think about it, Minecraft and its sort of positioning as a family friendly, you can enjoy this at all ages sort of stance is really cool. And listen, it is the most on-brand addition to a Nintendo product that you could think of. I mean, I may not like Minecraft as a gamer. I may not play it. But to say that this addition to Smash doesn't make sense, it's silly. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, who's your I'm in addition to Smash at this
point. Know what? One of our colleagues, Weird Beard, brought up a really good one. He said, yo, what if they put Earthworm Jim into Smash? And I could not have been transformed into an 8-year-old quicker.
I feel like that's such a millennial answer, though, because I don't think anyone under the age of 25 will know.
Do you think anyone in America knows who Crom or Roy or Marth is?
You're right.
Nobody cares.
But they still make new versions of those games.
It doesn't matter.
I feel like
Earthworm Jim is still an iconic video game property. It's not like he said.
He's seriously giving a speech right now.
Yes. It's not like he said Booger Man. He said Earthworm Jim.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, apparently there's other news coming out from Minecraft as well.
Minecraft's been busy this week. Like, they just had Minecraft Live happen on Saturday, and they just announced the newest Minecraft update, Caves and Cliffs, which is like, you leave. This is actually really exciting because I hesitate on exciting news with the updates because there was like the nautical one, which was just kind of whatever to me. Mm-hmm. And the last one was actually really fun with another update. But this one's really focusing on the underground aspect, which I feel weird saying that because that this is a very digging Minecraft. Mm-hmm. So they're now getting to the fact that they're going underground. But there's a ton of cave stuff. They have a new mob called the Warden, which is like blind. And so you have to use like snowballs or whatever to kind of like chase it away, keep it away from you. So it's like, imagine like, and I don't know, it's that's kind of a mechanic.
It sounds
goofy, but it's fun, and it's actually a really tough creature to fight. Mm-hmm. So it's not something you're just going to walk up to and be like, all right, I'm just going to fight you. No, you have to actually, like, it's a scary moment because you're going to die and lose all your crap.
I will say this, you know, for people who enjoy Minecraft, I like the passion and the energy that they bring to it. I love the creativity. This is a game that I do not want to ever play ever. So I think this is big news.
I think
it's awesome. I think it sounds great for the people who are into Minecraft. However, I hear you describe that, and that doesn't make me go, oh, wow, I want to go try it again. Meanwhile, you take a similar game like No Man's Sky, which I feel like every time they announce an update, I'm like, guess I got to go actually check it out because it sounds a little bit better now.
Man, they got you for like $60, and they are just hanging on to you, aren't
they're
they?
They're trying real
hard. I don't play the game very often, but I will be remiss to say that what they add doesn't make the game better. I am energized
That's
to play
fair.
The game.
That's the difference between No Man's Sky and Minecraft, though. Like, for some reason, there's this kind of obsession with Minecraft, or like a jonesing, really,
yeah,
where you just want to continue. I did not experience that with No Man's Sky. There's no need to go back.
Yeah, that's fair. Another big thing that went down in gaming this weekend is the release of Star Wars Squadron. One of the, in my opinion, laziest cash grabs in all of EA currently.
But did it work?
And it absolutely worked. It worked 100%. They got $40 from me fast.
I was going to say, weren't you playing it?
Yes, I was playing quite a bit of it. And here's the thing. They took the best parts of the two Battlefront games, in my opinion, which was the air and space combat aspects of it, and just made a whole game around it.
Yep.
Here's the thing. $40 is not that big of a barrier of entry for me to try a new game, but I was expecting to be very disappointed by this. I wasn't. And to me, that's a win. For $40, you didn't disappoint me. That's a win.
That's kind of the same mindset I ended up going into like Jedi Fallen Order with. I was just like, please just be okay. And then I got in and got to play like Star Wars Dark Souls. I'm like, all right, I'm actually into this.
Star Souls.
Yeah, kinda. It was pretty cool. And, you know, the one thing I will say is that the story is weak. Don't go in expecting to be wowed by the story.
To do space combat, to live my dreams of flying in an X-Wing.
Exactly.
That's why I'm playing that game.
And I will tell you, the difference between flying a Y-Wing, X-Wing, A-Wing, they feel so different.
Yeah.
And when you get to dogfighting other people, when you play online, it is thrilling. It is a great feeling. It is probably the best air-to-air combat I've played since Ace Combat 5.
So, Norris, there's a certain sentence that I've never heard you utter once in your entire life.
That is.
And that sentence is, I would rather play this in VR.
Yes, absolutely.
No,
absolutely.
Really?
Listen, VR to me right now is the most pointless add-on of almost anything gaming has out right now. And this was the first time that I said, hey, if I had a VR helmet for this game, this will take a game that is a solid 6.5, 7 to a 8, 9
yeah,
easily.
You know why it makes sense though is because it has the HUD. Anything like I imagine things like any mech kind of games like Titanfall do very well on this, and this kind of the same realm.
When
it's
we
like
finally
that HUD.
Get Armored Core 7, or
oh my god, that would be so cool.
I can't even do, like, seriously. And they have like a you can take all the HUD off and function with just the instruments in the actual Starfighter
itself.
And so, like, you put it in VR and play just that mode, yeah, you are Wedge Antilles, flat out.
I need it.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so the last thing we want to talk about in terms of news for today is the fact that one of the most anticipated video games on planet Earth, Cyberpunk 2077, has gone gold, which means...
Not what it meant used to mean.
No. Because back in the day, going gold used to mean that, oh my God, this thing is ready to roll.
Yeah, so back in the day, going gold literally just meant we're sending it to the printer. The game is what it is. This is how it's going to go out. Which, of course, in the modern era of day one patches actually means legitimately nothing. Other than, yes, the current build they have has gone to the printers to be put onto CDs, I guess, or Blu-rays nowadays.
Yeah.
But, of course, the work continues. Just recently... CD Projekt Red was hit pretty hard with people saying, like, oh my God, they're doing crunch time again. And so, yes, just because the game has gone gold doesn't mean they're not going into severe crunch. They definitely are, because they got to have that 20 gig day one patch ready to go, baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, going gold in the era of digital distribution just means here's the buggy version that you will get before that big day one update.
Yeah. Here's what going gold does mean.
Yeah.
The game's not getting delayed again.
That's
it is
right.
Coming out.
It's coming out. So, for everybody anticipating this game, like myself, like our colleague Robbie, like 70% of the gaming public, I'm happy. This lets me know that the game will come out on its intended release day, and I'll be able to play this game. So I'm excited about that, but I am a little saddened that that means all these folks will be playing a lot, or excuse me, working a lot more on this video game for the next 4 months.
Yep.
But anyway, that is going to be it for our news segment. We are going to come back where we are going to talk about North America at the League of Legends World Championships, and get ready, because this ain't going to be fun at all.
The world of comics has been growing for the past 30 years, and that's why Robbie and Ben are...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Here to break it all down for you. Join the Shop Talk every Monday for the latest in all things comic. Find the other identity at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Norris Howard here alongside Chad Callahan and Callie Sloan. And listen, if this is your first time listening to the show, or maybe you know us from Checkpoint AFK, we implore you, subscribe to the feed so you can get news, scores, funnies, all kind of stuff every day to this feed. Now, listen, we talk a lot about video games. We talk a lot also about esports, and the biggest esport event right now is League of Legends Worlds. October is always an exciting month for League fans. It is probably, I would say, the biggest esport event in the world, barring what, the international, I would say.
Yeah. I think Worlds is bigger.
I think
now.
Worlds is bigger. Yeah.
Well, there's people that would argue that.
The international is only freaking big because of the prize pool. You just want to see
just
who's
need money.
Yeah. This is the only reason. It's not. Dude, yeah,
but as far as news coverage, I think the international like gets it because of that stuff.
Yeah, but it's not because of every team there is potentially good.
No, but
anyway,
I don't know. Anyway, we'll argue that a different time.
Yeah. So here's the thing, guys. We are in North America. We hope that our LCS teams can perform well at the World Championships. And you know what? After play-ins, Team Liquid looked like It was in pretty good shape.
They
got a very favorable seeding into the group stage. Callie, walk us through how the first weekend of the groups went.
So I made one big decision going into Worlds this year, and that decision was that I was not going to wake up early to watch.
Very good.
North America burned that bridge last year, or the last couple of years. Like, I'm done with getting up at like 4 a.m. to watch Worlds. Like, that era has passed. I'll get up at 9, enjoy some breakfast, and watch the VODs.
Yeah.
And thank God I did, because North America sucks. We are so bad.
Well, listen, at least we got FlyQuest.
What, they're 1-1 with a win over Unicorns
of Love?
That's
still alive.
Hey, a win's a win. A win's a win.
That is still alive, Callie. All right, 1-1 at this point of the group stage is still alive.
Right, and they're going to lose to Top Esports and DRX.
Yes, they are. It's terrible. So, listen, looking at the groups, guys, all right, I talked about Team Liquid having a favorable seeding. They were in Group A. Group A has G2 Esports, Machi Esports, and Suning.
Yep.
This was the best possible group they could have gotten seeded in.
That doesn't mean it was a great group.
Doesn't mean it was great.
Just that it was the best one.
It was the best one. I really think that playing the game they were playing, they had a chance against Machi Esports, and they've played G2 to at least look competitive enough previously.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Team Liquid is known for playing a very slow, methodical.
Yep.
We scale late.
We'll see you at 40 minutes.
We'll see you in 40 minutes where we'll probably win at Baron and push and win.
Yep.
Here's the problem. That doesn't work against Chinese teams.
Yeah, Chinese teams are like, what if we fought 20 times before 10 minutes? Oh, well, that's not the game that I want
to play. It's not the game you want to play. And so Team Liquid gets stumped twice in their 0-2. Dead.
Yeah.
Officially.
Machi Esports, I didn't think Machi Esports was going to be that good. They outplayed them at every turn. And then their game against Suning was just embarrassing.
It was crazy. And so G2 Esports, as at the top of Group A, they look incredibly competent.
Yep.
Way more competent than I think anybody gave them credit for. So there's that. Moving into Group C, because Group B has no American teams in it, and it also has Damwon Gaming and JD Gaming.
Damwon's 3-0. They're going to make it out. Yeah. JD Gaming, if they don't make it out, I'll be stunned.
Yeah, it's, you know, another one of those Korean powerhouses that probably will make it deep into the knockout stages. So moving into Group C, which is a much tougher group than Group A, but still not the toughest. You have Gen.G Esports from Korea, Fnatic from EU, and LGD Gaming from China, and Team Solo Mid from America.
0-2.
Didn't do a thing.
So they played a game against Fnatic and a game against Gen.G. Didn't look good in either game. Lost both games. Pretty sure Doublelift was inting for half of one of them. I'm so disappointed.
Why?
Disappointed is not even the word, right? Like, disappointing requires you to first be like, they should win
to
this.
To have expectations.
Yeah, like, they should be able to win this. I'm just defeated. How about defeated? Is that a better word?
Defeated's a better word. Because here's the thing. When we talk about any team that has Doublelift on it at Worlds, it is an exercise in futility. Okay? Doublelift is supposed to be the greatest player that NA has ever produced, right?
He probably is. And that's the problem.
And that's the issue, is that every time a team with Doublelift goes to Worlds, they get summarily smashed. Outside of what? I think, has he made it out of groups once?
I don't think he has.
Either way, what the hell?
Do you think that's a problem of trying to focus on Doublelift too much?
No, the problem is that when you focus Doublelift, there is nothing the rest of the team can do. And that is an issue with a team like TSM, because they have Bjergsen, who is a very, very good mid laner. I don't necessarily think I would call him world class, but a very, very good mid laner. You have a rising star in Broken Blade in top lane. You have a good team. This is not a bad team. And yet, every time when Doublelift is focused, that team is dead. They are dead in the water. And therefore, they had no chance playing any of these teams. dude, they play Gen.G looks like they're the only team that is going to challenge Damwon for being the best team at Worlds. They're the only team that looks it. Top Esports, yeah, Callie, I know previously you said, oh, Top Esports looks really strong. They may be able to do it. Top Esports is looking really good.
Yeah, they look great.
They look great. So,
I think they are the best team in the world right now.
Yeah, they look it.
So that's going down to Group D. We got Top Esports, DRX. I'm calling them
King's Own Dragon X.
That's a better name. FlyQuest and Unicorns of Love. Top Esports is 2-0, and they should be. They look amazing. DRX and FlyQuest both 1-1, and Unicorns of Love 0-2. I'm sorry. A win over Unicorns of Love doesn't do anything for me. FlyQuest does not impress me at all. They may take third in the division instead of fourth, but they're still not getting out.
No, they won't. And the thing about FlyQuest is I made a little joke about them. Oh, well, at least we still got FlyQuest. Here's the thing is that, you know, even in Team Liquid's 0-2 games, they still looked better than FlyQuest, even though they lost both of them.
FlyQuest win. That game was a clown fiesta. Yeah. What was that?
It was not great. It was not great. It didn't look good. There were multiple fights around objectives that you just... For Unicorns and FlyQuest, they were head scratching. There was like, why is that happening? I think in particular, there's a fight at Baron that led FlyQuest to actually win against Unicorns of Love, and I have no idea why Unicorn even takes the fight.
Listen,
it's a silly fight to take.
Team Liquid, Team Solo Mid, FlyQuest, and Unicorns of Love are reasons why there should only be 12 teams invited to Worlds.
Yeah, I hate to say it, and. Here's the thing, and the last point that I want to lean on, and here's a major, major issue that NA has, and I'm gonna quote Fionn on Fire on Twitter. He's one of the beat writers for ESPN for League of Legends, and I just definitely Tyler Erzberger.
Is he the one who predicted that 2 out of 3 North American teams will get out of Worlds?
He was wrong.
Get out of group stages.
Yeah, he was wrong.
He was very wrong.
But at the same time, he also said early this morning that listen. This year at Worlds has never been a stronger indicator that NA needs to follow Korea's lead and they need to invest in their lower leagues. Everything cannot run through the LCS anymore.
No.
They don't have the talent. They don't have the infrastructure. You need to start reaching out to high school and college leagues and teams and start farming for new talent because right now, Doublelift is, what, 3 years from 30?
Yeah, no, listen.
You know,
two of our three teams have the two oldest players competing at Worlds this year. The age of just hiring in veterans from other regions to come end their careers in your region is over. In Korea, they are scouting talent as young as middle school to look for pro players. If we do not get our lower brackets and our path to pro secured, it's just going to be more years of losing every single year at Worlds. I'm sorry, the rest of the world has gotten so far ahead of us that it's just become embarrassing to watch.
Yeah, and, you know, what's even harder pill to swallow about this is that in a post-COVID world, I don't even think the possibility of importing that older talent is even going to work anymore.
No.
So this may be the last time you really see even NA be halfway competitive at Worlds. You may see NA not get out of play-ins and stuff like that in the next 3 to 4 years. Because if they don't start investing in the young talent now, yesterday, right, it's not going to happen for this region. Period.
Do you think, though, with Chris Greeley's recent announcement about the taking the academic and the college routes under the LCS wing, isn't that kind of what they're doing?
It is.
Or
it
a
is,
step in the right direction?
It's a step in the right direction, but a part of what still makes that difficult is the fact that there's still not enough top flight programs and academies in NA to really say that this is where the new talent is coming from. This is the cream of the crop. There's still going to be a couple more years before we say, you know, there's a thing in soccer, you know, La Masia or La Fabrica, the two academies for Barcelona and Real Madrid. You could point to them and say the best players in the world come from there, period. You know, you could talk about Southampton's academy. The best players in the world come from those academies. No matter what, I could go to there and get a young player, and that's a quality player. Mm-hmm. We don't have that.
No. I mean, maybe not, but there's a few with on campus that you've talked to a few.
Absolutely.
Like Maryville, for
Absolutely.
Example, it would be a great.
I agree.
Maybe vet and put into.
I think Maryville is the closest.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't think you could pull a kid from Maryville and put him on
put him
on to Immortals and expect them to perform.
No.
We're not going to see another, you know, what's the bot laner for Team Liquid right now?
Tactical.
We're not going to see that. Is a flash in the pan type of thing. We're not going to see Tactical. We saw Tactical and Blabber in one season. We're not going to see that again for a long time.
Well, we need to, though. Like, that's what needs to start happening is rookies coming out and really making some noise. Because until that starts happening on a more regular basis, North America is just not going to compete.
No, I agree. And, I mean, you're seeing a lot of the same teams making it out from NA going into Worlds. I mean, this is FlyQuest's first time to Worlds. But TSM and Team Liquid, these are teams that are perennial, you know, Worlds teams. The only one missing is Cloud9. But you look at Suning, you look at, you know, Gen G, you look at Top Esports. It seems like in China and Korea, there is at least one to two new teams that emerge from those regions, and a lot of it has to do with their young talent. Yep. So that's going to be that. I'm really frustrated with NA. I don't know why I am, because I should have had no expectations to begin with, but it is so angering to continue to see these teams make it to Worlds and to perform like wet farts every year, period. I'll give Cloud9 the one exception because they got to the semis 2 years ago. That is it. It's very, very angering. And I'm going to be honest, don't expect it to get better next year, period. You think this year was bad? It'll be worse next year, because a lot of those older players will either choose to not come back, or they will be supplanted by younger players who are not ready yet. Simple as that. But that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. I hope you guys enjoyed the new format. You're going to hear me yelling about a lot of stuff because people piss me off, including the LCS. So, you know, be back here the same bat time, same bat channel, for the next episode of Checkpoint Daily.
We'll be here tomorrow.
We'll be here tomorrow.
Woo!
So exciting. With that said, guys, everybody, stay chill, have a great time, and we'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.